Usually I am the guest and Steve Grzanich is the host, and he's the one who wakes me up very early in the morning and asks me questions about the tech startups. Today we have flipped the script and I will be interviewing Steve here on my show, the newly named Technori Live. So why don't we just get after it and start talking about some cool things going on in Chicago. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. The host becomes the guest, and it's scary. Very scary.
It's only scary for me. I'm intimidated. I got a pro sitting across me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but you're the smart guy. You're the reason. The reason we interview you is you're the expert.
I just assumed I was the only one that would answer the phone call that early.
Well,
in the
morning. Well, that too, but
that's the main piece. So you have had some pretty cool interviews of late. One of which I thought was particularly interesting was the McDonald's interview. So I figured I'd have you come in here and chat a little bit about what you learned from the McDonald's interview, what people should know about what's going on with McDonald's, who, in case people haven't heard, are moving here to Chicago from their Oak Brook location, which is just a few miles from my house. Mm-hmm. So no hamburger you for me anymore, I guess, is what you're telling me.
Right. And so you know how big it is in Oak Brook.
It's huge.
It seems forever. And I was joking with somebody that I was talking with. I'm so used to as a journalist, writing Oak Brook-based McDonald's.
Yep.
And, you know, they used to be based in Chicago a long, long time ago, but they haven't been. But, you know, they've announced formally now they're moving here and they're bringing Hamburger U with them. Everybody thought they might leave that behind in Oak Brook. But it's, you know, what's going to remain out there? That's the big thing. But
a new golf course is what it sounds like. Because it's a huge property.
I mean, it is. And, you know, they're moving to the old Harpo Studios and they're going to redevelop that and make that a huge deal by 2018. So, you know, is giveth, take it away kind of situation. But, it's very exciting to think that McDonald's is going to be downtown again.
I agree. I mean, there's a few ways that we can go with this. And particularly McDonald's is interesting to me because I did a case study on McDonald's when I was at Northwestern. And the question was, should they extend breakfast all day long? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I had the belief, and it was on a final, and I actually got graded out, and I've since emailed the teacher about this because this obviously went the other way. I was of the position that despite some of the changes that they might need to make, based on the way and the trajectory that McDonald's was going on, which was a not innovative way, and they were having lots and lots of trouble that was coming down the pike, particularly with regard to the menus and the choices of the pricing packages and who they were catering to, et cetera, that opening up the breakfast all day would be an opportunity for them to be able to start catering back to that class of people that they were originally hitting and that were McDonald's people, my people. I'm a breakfast all day people.
Yeah,
So anyway, the case study came out and they were like, no, you know, it's a bad idea. There's expenses. They've got to have two griddles. They have to have all these things operating. There's an extra person hired. And ultimately the teacher, who's a very esteemed Kellogg professor, said, no, it's a bad idea. And this happened, obviously, they came out with all-day breakfast, they got a little shot in the arm, and now from the sounds of things, it looks like there's a bunch more shots in the arm coming.
Yeah, first of all, I hope he changed your grade.
It was too late. I was like, can't you go back and I mean, this is ridiculous.
You got robbed because their stock price, as you know, was tanking. They were just absolutely tanking. And then they did this all-day breakfast thing, and now it's for the last two quarters, gangbusters.
Yeah.
And what it was is they just started listening again to McDonald's people like you and me who say, hey, listen, we kind of want breakfast to have breakfast all day. And they did that, and you know the stock price right now is just phenomenal. And so I think based on what I've been able to gather and a lot of the guests that I've had, one of the main reporters, Peter Frost from Cranes, he's been covering this very closely. He broke the news they were moving here to Chicago, by the way. He says that this new team led by Steve Easterbrook, they're basically throwing darts at the wall to see what sticks. I mean, if you pick up the newspaper every day, you're going to hear a story about how they're testing kale in Southern California, and they're doing salmon in Seattle, and chocolate fries in the Netherlands, and this and that. They're seeing what sticks, and they're finding that some of this stuff is sticking. And the all-day breakfast thing, that's a huge deal. The McGriddle is part of that, which is they're finding now they need to expand that. But it hasn't been a big deal for McDonald's to do both. It hasn't.
No, it really – I mean, ultimately, I think that they found a couple of different ways. I believe there's a cooktop that they put on one of them now to expand it out so it's not like they have to start a whole another grill up and heat it up and keep it running all day long. They can just set this grill top on it. And they sort of like incrementally made little changes along the way to do this, which I guess for whatever reason people thought would have been impossible for them. What's particularly interesting to me is that for a little while, and I'm not sure what the exact reason why was, but McDonald's seemed to have lost its way in the ability to innovate on the fly. Their adjustment became, maybe they got too big. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The international expansion made it so that they couldn't be nimble enough to jump in front of categories where they previously had. They come out with a toy, you know, then they come out with great packaging, then they put, you know, a park inside of their facilities. You know, every time there was a little bit of a shift in their market and they lost a little share, boom, there they were with something new. And then all of a sudden, it just went like a 5-6 year spread where it was just, here's apples, here's random garbage. I'm at a fast food restaurant. Trust me, I don't need apples.
No, I want a large fry and a double quarter pounder with cheese.
And they're combating, you know, the health kind of kick, or I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent on the health thing, but
yeah,
it's an issue that people care about, yet they don't really care about in their actions, but they say they care about
right.
it.
Right, and some people, the research shows some people actually lie about it. There's a segment of the population that says, oh, I never go to McDonald's, but then they sneak in and you see them in the corner, you know, at the newspaper, and that's what they're finding. When people are anonymous about it, they say, you know, yeah, I go to McDonald's all the time.
But so we talked about this on your show, I feel like, opening bell, where there was the millennials in particular. It was
the millennials.
I think
right.
it was. I think yeah. We talked about the same show. So the millennials for McDonald's, as well as I want to say it was Olive Garden. There was one other company that had kind of put together this big research project, and they'd spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on this. And essentially, what had come out was that the millennials said, "This is the kind of food we want. This is the social conscious and food conscious and all this other kind of things. You know, health conscious food that's you know." Humanely raised and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It was this huge, big piece, and they didn't care about the price point and all this other stuff. So then McDonald's and Olive Garden, two of the ones that I remember specifically, started changing their menu to cater to this millennial audience. And as it turns out, the millennial audience wasn't quite truthful, because the reality is, in an ideal world, yes, we would like this. However, if you're living on your parents' couch and you don't have any money coming in, you eat what you can buy.
Right.
And so ultimately, McDonald's, you know, gave up a ton of market share to millennials, to, you know, Chipotle and the rest.
Right. And this all sort of ties into why they're moving back to downtown Chicago. The Steve Easterbrook says they want to be one of the innovators. They want to take McDonald's to the next level. And without being disrespectful to the employees who've been at McDonald's forever, part of the reason is that they haven't been innovating is because you sort of have a little bit of dead weight there. When you've been at a place for a long time, you're not going to innovate. You're ready to retire. Moving to the city and it opens up a new market.
It's like a midlife crisis. We're dropping some debt. We're dropping a little bit of dead weight. We're getting a new car. We're moving to the city.
Right,
it's good
right.
stuff.
And there's this workforce here that's young and hip and urban, and that's what McDonald's need. They obviously need experience, which they're going to have, but they also need the talent that doesn't want to drive to Oak Brook, that's living here, that doesn't want to drive to Oak Brook. And so I think that's going to be a huge, big part of that. You know, what happens with, you know, in terms of who leaves and who goes, I think still is going to be, you know, decided.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're also bringing Hamburger University here, that says a lot about, you know, what they're thinking about moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously very excited about this, as well as other big companies that are moving to Chicago to get more involved with the startup community, as well as just overall innovation. You know, one of the things that I think we talked about when I was last interested talking about Technori is that we're going to have sort of this Technori corporate, where we can Technori methods is what I'm calling it, where we're going to be able to come into larger companies and talk about things like, how do you create lean startups, even if you know, lean startup inside your organization. So you can imagine Hamburger U has like a lean startup incubator inside of the McDonald's Corporation, which would be the only lean thing they have there.
Because really, if you think about it, all of their franchisees are kind of startups.
Absolutely.
Right?
They absolutely are.
Why not tie them together and make it, you know, all, it's right in that alley.
Yep. Yeah. It's very cool. Well, I have to tell you, thank you so much for coming here and filling us in a little bit on McDonald's. I'm hungry. I want to go get some McDicks.
Yeah, and you know, it's really exciting to see what the future is, because I was telling you before the broadcast, there's, you know, in the Netherlands, you go, and first of all, they're starting all these kiosks, these robot kiosks, but in the Netherlands, you go and you get like this place. When you have your tray of food and you go set it down, the placemat is actually electronic, and you put your phone on it. And you can like mix music, and you can do all kinds of stuff and interact with people, and it's sort of like a Wi-Fi thing. That's the kind of stuff that, again, millennials are going to that McDonald's in the Netherlands because of stuff like that. You know, so it's
the future is bright, I think, for McDonald's again. You know, the one they, like I said in the beginning of this, they gave up some market share, but the one benefit McDonald's has over all the rest, and even though Burger King and Wendy's and all those other are very large, they're not McDonald's. Mm-mm. McDonald's has got plenty of money to be able to kind of withstand a little bit of a punch they got and somehow kind of get back on their feet and run quickly and figure this out. And it sounds like they're kind of on that way.
And they're a hometown company. You know, you really, and now they're really a hometown company, right? They're in Chicago.
I'm going to eat more McDonald's is what's going on. This is not going to help me out in any way, shape, or form.
I'll grab you an order of fries on my way.
Please do.
Yeah.
Where do people go to follow you and stay in with your show?
At Steve Grzanich. And then, of course, at WGN 720, WGN Radio. And then the opening bell's on every morning at 5 o'clock. We're here bright and early, and the latest market intel, and we'll cover the news, and hopefully you'll be back with us soon.
Orion Samuelson.
Yeah, and Orion's back. He has the ag news, and we have tech news. We have a new feature at 5:28. It's tech trends. And, Wall Street Now with ABC News, we have the resources of ABC News and Reuters. And so I think we're hitting it. I think we're doing a good job of it.
Well, I always love participating on it. Let me know whenever you want me to wake up a little earlier.
Congratulations with Technori, and come back soon.
Thank you very much. Also, thank you, Steve, for letting me turn the table on you today.
I appreciate you asking me. I'm flattered. I'm glad we didn't do some of the other topics that you're the expert on, because I would have sounded silly.
You're underselling yourself. But at any rate, this has been a great episode. The official June theme has been announced, Sizzling Summer Tech for Technori. It will be hosted Tuesday on the 28th at Chase Auditorium. So if you haven't already, make sure to grab your tickets at technori.com before it's too late. You can stream this episode on WGN Plus app or download each episode on iTunes. Stay connected with us by following us at Technori or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.